Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about their neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. This morning, as we have read these verses, and we'll be looking at some other verses here in this passage as we go through, we find that this man Belshazzar has devised a party in his life. And it's not going to be to his good, and he's going to have a problem. And we find that he's in this place called Babylon. There was a kingdom, there was an empire that was known as Babylon, and there was also a city that had that same name of which they dwelt in. It was a walled city. It was a city that had a great wall about it. And you can look up some of these things. It was very, very large and very, very strong wall. You know, there's been a lot of walls in the history of mankind. Some walls to keep people in, some walls to keep people out. But they have been there significant for a purpose and for a reason. In my lifetime, I remember the Berlin Wall falling down, being torn down. That wall that separated that city and in the country of Germany. And that wall was to keep people in. They did not want them to escape from the communist regime. And so therefore they built a wall in the midst of that city that separated. And walls many times are there for a separation. We have the Great Wall of China that's in our history books. And you can find much about that concern, how they built that and how that it has stood. And it's much of it is still standing today for over 2,000 years. So there are physical walls, and then there are walls that we would call personal, private things in our life. We have the walls of poverty that separate people in different ways. We have the walls of hunger, the walls of distrust. You have the walls of racism. You can just name anything and everything, and that word wall just means to make a difference between two ideas or two practices. Some homes have walls in them that are not good, that separate the family. And but when you think about a building, you have to have walls. If you don't have walls, then things, it's just not there. And so this wall, before we get into the passage, this wall is in history. You can read about it, and you can find that it was a wall that went around the city of Babylon that made them have a very secure belief that no one could penetrate, that you're not going to be able to come inside the wall into that city. And so it was a very splendid city. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. As Nebuchadnezzar built that city, he built it for his wife, It's the place of what's called the Hanging Gardens. That was very beautiful. The interior of it probably was completely breathtaking. And so it was there for a purpose of protection. As they built this city, they detoured, or they made the Euphrates run through the city so that it would water all the, would have the freshness of water all through the city. And at the height of the Babylonian kingdom, the city of Babylon itself was a self-contained city. They grew enough, they planted enough, they were able to never go out if they did not want to. It was a self-contained place. And these walls were large. I wrote down here some of the things about it. It was so wide, it's reported that they could have chariot races on top of the wall, and the chariots would run three abreast. And so it was a pretty wide, I think it's considered to be about 80 feet wide wall, and it was 300 feet high. Now, we have problems in our country figuring out how and if we're going to build a wall on our border. And here's a nation thousands of years ago that built this type of wall that they did not think could be penetrated at all. And so therefore they had a security that really was not a real security, because nothing is impenetrable against our God. And you can build all you want to build, but God can do as He pleases, and God can do as He chooses in our life. And so we find that through this, Belshazzar thought he was safe inside this walled city, and so he decides that he's going to, as we read, he's going to have a party. The Bible says here he invited 1,000 of his lords. But then it goes on and tells you that there's more involved to it than that. Their wives, their concubines, all those that were involved in those people were there that night for this party that he was throwing. Now, I'm sure every one of us probably have said the handwriting is on the wall. I've heard that all my life. And when we hear that statement, we know what it means is that something is inevitable. The handwriting's on the wall. That's not going to work. The handwriting's on the wall. That's not going to prosper. And so it's a definite statement that something is going to or not going to happen as we think it should. I'm sure we have heard the statement, and has been given to us many different times. Not only is the handwriting on the wall, but as we walk through a building, how many have, probably all of us have said, if these walls could only what? Talk. They have experienced, they have seen, they have had all the things happen inside these walls. If these walls could talk. Well, this morning, we find there is a wall that had a message for this man, Belshazzar, and all those that came together. If this wall could talk. The talking wall of Belshazzar's kingdom. The wall said, "You're safe." It brought them to the point that he felt as though as much problem was around him inside that wall, he was safe, and so therefore he could do what he wanted to do. Verse number 1 says, "The king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands." Verse 4 says, "They drank wine, they praised the gods of gold, of silver, brass, iron, wood, and of stone." You'll not notice anything about the God of heaven, because here's a kingdom that does not know God. And so Belshazzar sends out invitations to 1,000 of his lords under him, and he says, "Come on over, we're going to have a good time tonight." And the walls spoke to him that you're safe. The walls made him feel as though everything was well. And so they come together, and they bring everything together. They are there. They share their food. They share their wine. They share everything. Sin was in full season there in Babylon. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. The end result in anyone's life is death. We are dying creatures this morning because we are sinners. We are going to face eternity one day, and our bodies are going to die because Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and death began to work in the life of every individual that's ever been born or ever shall be born. So death is the end result of the sin that comes. But sin, personal sometimes, can bring about a death that is unknown and those times that we are not aware of. And we see here that sin leaves you in that position, and the sequence is always the same. You have the temptation, you have the lust enticement, you have the sin, then the final result is death. And so here we find that Satan has hoodwinked the whole world this morning that everything is be okay. It doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you believe, it's going to be okay. That's the wall speaking that of security that is not there. And every one of us are going to face an eternal God one day. Every one of us are going to stand before the Lord. And the Scripture says we're going to give an account of those things done in our bodies. And so this wall said to to Belshazzar, that wall made him have a security that was not there. We have in the New Testament, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The payment for sin is a death that comes to all of us. In this scripture here, Belshazzar is transitioning from this thing of enticement and lust and sin. He's transitioning. He doesn't realize it yet, but he's transitioning to that last point called death. And he was very secure in his own way and his own thoughts. This wall, we find, and we'll look at the words here in a little bit, this wall said to him that, and to all those around, they did not understand it, but as it was told unto them, and as they saw that, the message came forth, you've passed the point of no return. You see, I believe there is a point of no return in a lot of things. There's a point that we get to that we'll never be able to come back to where we were. We're never able to turn around and make things right. And this is what happened here that night there in the kingdom of Babylon in that city. Verse 5, as they were there, as they were having their party, as they were having their drunken stupor, it says, "In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote." You read on down, verse number 6, he knew something was wrong. He did not even know what the message was, but he knew it was not a good message. For after that, he calls for all his soothsayers and all his Chaldeans, all those that were supposed to be wise men, that if they were to read that and tell him what it meant. Well, if he didn't know what it meant, then why in this world does the Bible say his knees smote one against the other? Even before he had the interpretation of it. You see, there are times in the lives of an individual, there are times in the lives of people that we see the handwriting on the wall. We know it's not going to be good, even though we don't know how it's going to end, and we're fearful because we're just not sure. And here this man, Belshazzar, he was fearing for his life, and the Bible says that his knees smote one against another. Even before he knew what the writing was, he was fearful. And so this wall was pointing out to them that they had gone too far. Here these thousand invited guests, plus all their friends, all those that they brought with them, they had gone, they'd pulled out the utensils that Nebuchadnezzar, the first king of Babylon, as he goes into Jerusalem and destroys the temple of Jerusalem, they carry out all the golden vessels of the temple. Now, to find out a little bit about that, you have to go back into the Old Testament, and tells you and gives you details of all the vessels that were there in the temple. The books of Leviticus and Numbers and some of those other places, and as Solomon finished the temple, it tells you about all the golden vessels that they had there for a specific spiritual purpose. But when Nebuchadnezzar and his army goes in, they don't see anything as spiritual. They just see it as gold. They see it as something they desire, something they want, and so they take it and they store it in Babylon. And here's Belshazzar, the king now, and he wants to make a good impression of all his guests that he's inviting. And so he gets the good idea that they'll just go in and they'll take all the golden vessels and the silver vessels and those vessels that were used in the house of God or the temple of God, and they're going to use them for their party. They'd gone too far and did not even realize it. They'd taken the holy and was using it for unholy. And so they was drinking from God's golden vessels. And while in the midst of this, mocking God, thinking they're safe inside the city walls, all of a sudden there comes a hand and it begins to write a message on the wall. That wall is beginning to talk. That wall is beginning to tell them, give them a message that God is in control. You read back in the early part of the 1900s, there was that ship called the Titanic. And as they launched that ship, they made the statement that that ship was so strong and so good that God could not even sink the ship. And we know the history. We know the rest of the story. It never made it to the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. You see, God can do anything He chooses. God can use any means that He chooses. And God will do as He pleases, and we may snub our nose, and we may mock, and we may make fun, but in the last word is God's. Last word belongs to our Lord. Not even God Himself could penetrate these walls. It didn't take God to penetrate, it just took a piece of ice. And the ship sunk, and thousands were lost. So here we find that Belshazzar, playing probably his favorite music and watching his favorite dancers and drinking his favorite lager, he was there having a good time. The pleasure of sin for a season. Belshazzar is about to learn that he's past the point of no return. The king was an eyewitness to the handwriting on the wall. He saw it. Didn't anybody come and tell him what's been done? He sees the hand that appears. Now that's enough that would scare me. A hand that appears and just begins to write a message on the plaster of the wall. And he's fearful because he doesn't know what the words mean. He doesn't understand. And he calls all of his wise men. And I'm sure his heart is racing, the blood is gone from his face, and his countenance has changed. And he's beginning to wonder, and his heart is thumping. And all of a sudden he realizes it's not a good day. It's not a good message. The message was for him. It wasn't written for anybody else, it was written for him. It was his message. Because he was the leader. Listen to the words of the New Testament. And I believe Belshazzar witnessed every one of these things. Romans 6:23 that I read a moment ago, the wages of sin is death. Belshazzar witnessed that. Luke 13:3, except your opinion shall all likewise perish. He witnessed that. Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to what? Fall into the hands of a living God. He witnessed that. Old Testament, Proverbs 13:15, the way of a transgressor is hard, and he witnessed that also. The handwriting against sin on the wall in Babylon was clear, and so is the handwriting of God clear in his word. The Bible says in verse 7, the king cried, he said, bring the astrologers, bring the Chaldeans, bring the soothsayers. And anybody that can give me this, I'm going to reward them, and they're going to be in my kingdom. Only problem is his kingdom is already gone. He didn't have a kingdom. It was just a matter of hours, and it was over. Notice his desperation. Well, he calls for the respected members of his religious group. He calls for the respected members of his cabinet. And yet they could not tell him what it meant. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. To all of those, it was just words. To all of those, it was just something that they could not interpret, they could not read. And so they have to do something to get someone to understand it. Notice in these verses that Daniel is called. Daniel is one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament as far as a witness for the things of God in a wicked world. Daniel was well respected. Daniel lived from the time he was carried away captive, probably 16, 17 years old, if that old, where it tells us in the first part of the book of Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He stayed true to God, and God blessed him and honored him in a wicked world and a wicked society. And so Daniel's whole life was spent in this world of Babylon. He has grown older now. He's not the young man. He's the older man. Some I have read said he probably died in his 80s in Babylon. And so he was there the whole time, but yet he was very honored. And they knew that when Daniel spoke that the God of heaven was with him. And so they called Daniel in verse number 17. And Daniel gives the greeting, and he tells him in verse 18, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, a majesty, a glory, and honor. Daniel said, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar got it because God gave it to him. God permitted him to have these. The Bible tells us in verse number 19, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he shut up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. You can read all about that in chapter 4. God gave Daniel the message. Here's what happened. And this is Belshazzar, the scripture says his father, and as scripture does, many times the first is called the father of all. Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather in our speaking. And he says, you need to remember what God did for him. He said he became strong, and he let people live that he wanted to. He put people to death that he wanted to. He had a majesty, but he had a problem, had pride come in his heart. Same problem Belshazzar had. And said he was deposed from his throne and from his majesty. And that's given to us in verse 30 through 37, chapter number 4 of Daniel. Verse 21 says, he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and he dwelled with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. Here Nebuchadnezzar, literally what we would consider, he has literally lost his mind, and he's taken out of society, and he's living like a wild beast. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Even though, Daniel said, even though you know this, you've not let it affect your life. You know, a lot of things we know that we know are right and that we know are true, sometimes those things don't affect our life and we are held responsible. And so we find here that Daniel is putting the message on Belshazzar. He says, though you knew this, it didn't affect you. But thou hast lifted up, verse 23, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods. There they are listed again. Verse 25. Daniel says, Belshazzar, here's what you want to know. Here's the writing that is written. Many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. That's the words. And this is the interpretation. And we know the interpretation. God, verse 26, hath numbered thy kingdom. And notice it says here, and finished it. What's Daniel telling Belshazzar? The party's over. God knows your kingdom. God's numbered your kingdom. And God has finished your kingdom. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balanced, or balances, and found wanting. You are not living up to the balance of God. Verse 28, Perez is another form of the word Upharsin. Upharsin is a plural word. Perez is a singular. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The wall spoke unto Belshazzar, thou fool, it's over. It's over. Near there are people in our families, in our lives, loved ones, folks that we know. Now one day they will come to the end of their life and it'll be over for them. Their kingdom is numbered. I believe all of our lives, our kingdoms, are numbered. I don't know when I'm going to leave here, but you can be assured of God knows when I'm leaving. As the hair of our head is numbered, so are the days of our lives are numbered, that we are coming to an end of life. And here we find Belshazzar is given the decree and given the message from the godly man Daniel, said, thou art weighed in the balance and you're lacking. You know, the scales of justice that we have in our own country, they balance out each other, and when one is light, it tips. And that's what Daniel told Belshazzar. Your life doesn't come up to where it needs to. God's numbered your kingdom. It's finished. You're found wanting. And it's divided. Notice verse number 30. In that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, what's the last word there? Slain. That night. The particular night that the party was going on, he was slain. Ecclesiastes reminds us there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time for our life. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time of laughter. There's a time of crying or sorrow. All these things under the hand of God. Between birth and death, there's a certain number of days and years. And we say our days are numbered. Belshazzar's number was up. But yet he had the wall. He had the security. He had the understanding that nobody can penetrate these walls. They're 80 feet wide, 300 feet tall. There's no one can get in here and defeat. But that night he died because they did penetrate. The very thing that kept Babylon alive and vibrant was the thing that made it able for the Medes and the Persians to go under the wall and destroy that kingdom. That water that they had channeled from the Euphrates, and they fixed a way and they dried it up. They cut off the water to the kingdom, and all they did was just march under the wall. And Belshazzar was in there having a party when God says, it's over. Oh, King Ahab, in the book of 1 Kings, the prophet of God had told him, said, if you go against the Syrians, you're going to die. Oh, hey, Ahab thought he was smarter than God, and he dresses up, he puts on his armor, and he puts on the armor of just a regular individual soldier so nobody would know him. And he goes to battle. It's an interesting story there in 1 Kings, chapter 22. And the Bible says that there was a man that just by venture, he shot an arrow. The word by venture just means didn't aim it anywhere. He didn't aim at a target. He didn't aim at a man. He just shot it. And it hit Ahab in his armor at the joint where it could penetrate. And before the day was over, Ahab was dead. You see, God can do anything he desires to do. Doesn't matter what the wall tells you. And so that night, he died. Back up to verse number 29. Here's Daniel. He has given the interpretation. This shows you the stupidity, I guess is the lack of a better word, of old Belshazzar. Your days are numbered. You found wanting. It's finished. It's over. Verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. I ask you the question, what kingdom? What kingdom? Belshazzar has received the message. It's over. You're done. You're finished. And he says, I'm going to clothe Daniel with the scarlet. I'm going to give him a gold chain. He's going to be third ruler. He's going to be right under me. He didn't last just a few hours, and there was no Babylonian. You can go in secular, regular history and read how they defeated the Babylonian kingdom. And it tells us here. And so, doesn't matter if we have walls that we think are strong. Doesn't matter what they say to us, God will have His way in our life. God will work circumstances that we call circumstances out that really are divine appointments from the Lord to get us in the right place at the right time, that we can either have a mind to do for the Lord or have a mind to go against God. And the longer we go against God, the easier it becomes, and before long we'll hear the story. Did you hear about so-and-so? Well, they're not very old and they die. You see, there is a finish of life. It doesn't matter what year we're in. It doesn't matter what age we are, but it does matter how we finish. Daniel finished good. Babylon fell, the Medes and the Persians came in. Guess who the top man was in that kingdom? None other than Daniel. When that kingdom fell, didn't last long. Guess who's the top man in the next kingdom? Daniel. So it does pay to serve the Lord. It does pay to have the right heart, the right attitude for the things of God. And this wall is a wall also of beware. When we hear of things and when we see things, it's really saying, beware, don't go that direction, don't go that way. I think of some of the snares and the traps that are facing our young folks today. And really, when we hear about some of the things that take place, it is a message of beware, don't go that way, don't go that direction. For the last two or three weeks, we've heard about the epidemic in our country of drugs, opioids. We hear that all the way. It's a warning to everybody, don't go that direction. When you hear of the murder, when you hear of the, you name it, it's a wall that says, don't go there. Because in the end, it is not good. We are all found in the balance wanting. We all come up short. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days we'll stand at God's balances and we'll have the joy of the Lord or we'll have the wrath of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We sang that old song earlier, Amazing Grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He had a party, but the party's over. He had a good time going, but before the night was over, Babylon fell, and Belshazzar died. We don't know when the life is going to be over. We don't know when the party's going to end. We don't know when things are going to stop. That's why we have to be prepared every day of our life that one day we face God. I think we ought to be just as prepared to meet the Lord every day as we are as we think about Jesus could come today. And as He gives to us the desire that He would come, then we ought to have the desire that we be right with the Lord and have the blessings of God, that one day we would hear Him say, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant. Enter in. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things." May God help us this morning to not depend upon a wall, but depend upon the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is so good to us. Belshazzar died, and other than in the Scripture, you don't hear much about him anymore. Other than in an old musty history book that nobody wants to read. But this book tells us why and tells us how. And the wall gives us a warning. Don't go there. Don't make that trip. Stay true unto our God. Belshazzar, you knew what God did with your grandfather, your father, Nebuchadnezzar. Even though you knew it, you've turned from it. Pride was in his heart, and God brought him down. Pride's in your heart, God brought him down. Belshazzar, pride's in your heart, it's over. What about our heart today? You know the biggest detriment that Christians have today, I believe, is this thing called pride. Look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look at me. This is how good it is. Life can't get any better. Well, maybe not, but life can sure get a whole lot worse. Let's stand together this morning.